I'm Steve Kraske, and this is KCUR's Up to Date. You may know him as the host of KCPT's Kansas City Week in Review, but Nick Kane's journalistic background stretches from stops at the BBC in England to Kansas Public Radio in Lawrence and Topeka. He joins us today to talk about his experience building a life and career in the American Midwest after having been born, raised, and educated across the pond. We'll learn what got him so interested in American politics and how he earned a spot at the top of a primetime public affairs program, plus a look at what makes the show happen each and every week. We'll get you up to date after this hour's news. He's from Wales in the UK and the same hometown as Richard Burton and Anthony Hopkins. But even after all his years hosting Kansas City Week in Review on public television, people still wonder, why is a guy from across the pond, with an accent no less, hosting a weekly Kansas City news program? Why indeed? We're about to find out. Nick Haynes is the executive producer and host of Kansas City Week in Review. Nick leads KCPT's News and Public Affairs Television Division, and he joins me now here in the studio. Nick, what a pleasure to have you here. Welcome.
Hey, I feel very fortunate. Thanks for asking, Steve.
Well, we've turned the tables here a little bit. You're usually the one asking the questions to me on Week in Review. I'm wondering, which side of the questions do you prefer to be on?
I go to every single conceivable way of never having to answer questions about myself. So this is a very rare thing for me, Steve.
Is it pretty rare?
Oh, absolutely. I say I'm the person who moderates other people's conversations. I could be out every single night of the week hosting forums on housing and where I did climate change, whatever it happens to be, but I'm leading somebody else's conversation,
yes,
helping them have that conversation. I tend not to say too much about myself.
I got to tell you, coming on your show and answering questions, I find more challenging than sitting in here asking the questions. I'm much more comfortable asking them. I really have to sort of bone up on some things when I come on your show.
Yeah, no, I think it's a challenge, which is why I try to set people up for success when people come on that program, to help them along the way. I give them a little bit of a guide as to what the topics are going to be and a couple of questions to ponder, because I want people to be the best that they can be. And I think that's what Kansas Cityans expect. They don't want anybody just throwing out things. They want somebody to have a bit of an informed opinion.
So do people still ask you, Nick, why in the world is a guy from Wales hosting Kansas City, Missouri Week in Review?
Like the guy at Firestone who says, did they only hire you because of your accent? And I say, well, I'd like to think there are other things too. It's a two-way street, because there is something distinctive about it and very disarming for some people.
Yeah.
And that allows you to get into places and get people to say things that they may not ordinarily do because they're charmed by it. But it also comes with its own set of issues. There is a view of a British accent that somehow there sometimes the word arrogant is thrown out, and I think I like to believe, based on my own background, that that is not the person that I am.
I mean, should people find it odd or not really?
Well, I was the person in Kansas City. You know, I came here in 1991, and I sort of broke the accent barrier here. And I started right here at KCUR. I could not get a job. I was with the BBC. I could not get a job when I came here. And I worked as a Sprint telephone operator overnight. I worked for the Disney catalog company doing customer service to try and get it back in the media. And I came here in the early 90s when you were going into the news format, like programs like Talk of the Nation. And I came in, and the moment I came on the air here, my phone started lighting up from all of those organizations and news media entities who had no interest in me whatsoever, wouldn't even look at my resume, then wanted to hire me.
Why? Because you were here at KCUR?
Because the response was a very positive one. And I think the expectation was that nobody is interested in a British accent. We're not Boston. We're not New York City. And people in Kansas City don't expect to have people who are different than them.
You know, there are a lot of, I've known you for like 30 years, and I'm sitting here thinking last night as I was preparing this, there are so many things about you I don't know. We met at the Kansas State House, but you grew up in Port Talbot, Wales in the UK. What kind of town was that?
That's about a 40,000-person steel town. In fact, the largest steel plant in the United Kingdom is there. It is right on the beach. On one side of the beach is the British Steel Corporation. On the other side of the beach is the British Petroleum Chemicals Company. And people would say of Port Talbot that you could smell it before you saw it. And today I'm going to tell you it has the it is just been, just earlier this year, the most polluted town in Britain. It has some of the most extreme healthcare outcomes, the lowest healthcare outcomes of anywhere in the United Kingdom. Came from a single parent mother. I'm the first person to ever go to university. I was in public housing most of my life. We didn't have a vehicle. I know what it's like to walk and take a bus. Yet that's not the expectation of people when they hear a British accent. And so, but I have an empathy for people who have been in those situations because I lived that.
I didn't know any of that. You still have family over there?
I still have family in Britain. My mother died at a young age, which my father was not on the scene. And so that liberated me when I met my wife, who was at the University of Kansas doing, she did her junior year abroad program at a British university. And this is where we met. And I knew the moment I met her, and I was doing a degree, by the way, in Soviet politics. And we went to Russia, and that's actually how we fell in love. It was from Russia with love, if that's not too corny. If you did Soviet politics at the University of Essex in the UK, you spent 3 weeks in the Soviet Union. And we went over there, and I knew right then and there that I was going to marry this person.
Why?
There was just something about her that it's that internal feeling that you have. Before that, I'd been with people, and I never felt anything special. It was like I lost weight. I just, but that, there was a tingly feeling inside of me that I'd never experienced before.
What got you thinking about becoming a journalist in 30 seconds?
Yeah, when I've always been interested in the media. And when I joined, when I got a university degree, the only place within the BBC that would even in any way care that you had a news degree or a degree was the news area. So that's what I got into at that time.
Nick Kanes is my guest from KCPT and Week in Review. We'll continue our story with Nick Kanes in just a few minutes. We're back. I'm Steve Kraske, and I'm joined by my longtime friend and colleague, Nick Kanes from KCPT, the host of Kansas City Week in Review. So, Nick, you graduated from the University of Essex. Then at some point, shortly thereafter, you went to the BBC where you were a news reporter. What did you do there?
I was in the domestic news service, and if you work for the BBC, you are put onto different assignments in different parts of the country, and I went to three different areas. The very first assignment was in the northwest of England, and I had a news director there who so hated me that when I came back with a review, it was Nick Kanes is just stupid or just plain dumb was the review.
Oh, my gosh.
Yet of the 12 people the BBC took on that year, I was definitely in the upper half of the people who came in that year. I wasn't the top person, but I thought, wow, I had the worst review of anybody, and I was ready to pack it in. Mm-hmm. And then I went to a second assignment in Luton, which is just north of London, and the news director fell in love with me. I was doing a lot of important work, and they wanted to hire me on the spot, work there, and it just changed my whole attitude, and I stayed on. My main area was in the southwest of England, which is Devon and Cornwall, and that's where I was. And we're covering, again, issues in that part of the world, which is absolutely gorgeous.
And what a shame it would have been, one bad editor undermining a career. And we've all had one. And you just want to go back and shake those people.
You know, it's surprising how many people I've had in my life that have been domineering characters who have done that. So I like to think I try to be something different when I'm in the position of working with other people.
You know, when I met you, you were working for Kansas Public Radio based in Lawrence. You were covering the state capitol when I believe Joan Finney was governor. How did you make it from Europe over here then? How did that happen?
Well, I had a transatlantic relationship with my wife for 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And and by the way, we talk a lot about immigration. She was on a 6-month work visa after finishing KU and came over to Britain. And about 2 weeks before the end of that work visa, we had a tap on the door from a police constable late at night saying to let her know that her work visa was about to expire and she needed to leave the country. Mm-hmm. A police constable in full uniform.
Wow.
So this is back now in the late 80s, early 90s. So nobody really wants people coming into their country when they don't belong there. And that was true of Britain back in the early 90s. And they didn't want an American overstaying their 6-month work visa. So we had a transatlantic relationship for 3.5 years. I came out here in the late 80s and came out here for 6 weeks one summer. And I thought, wow, Kansas City is an amazing place. It doesn't have the ego of the East or West Coasts. A man could live pretty well on modest means here. And I really could imagine myself living here. But I kept going with the BBC for that 3.5 year period before deciding to come out here. We got married in 1991, and I came out here at that time.
You came to KCUR, and then you wound up at Kansas Public Radio, right?
I ended up there because they had it was one of those, like anybody's career, there's often opportunities arise. And the public radio station in Lawrence had a year-long grant from the Humanities Foundation to do health series where you would travel around the state of Kansas looking at health issues. And the person they had for that job quit on them a week before it was to start. So they became desperate. They called me immediately. I did that job. People loved it. It won awards. The State House Bureau Chief for Kansas Public Radio took a political assignment. That job opening happened. And so I got to be the State House Bureau Chief. The thing about that was that coming from Britain, you know, the United States is very different, and that this is one of the only countries in the world where local decision makers that most people can't even name, their local state representative and state senator, are making life and death decisions. And at that time in the early 90s, you'll recall, they were looking at reinstating the death penalty.
That's right.
Abortion, for the first time, was now becoming a real issue with protests and so on. So life and death decisions that in other Western democracies take place at the highest level of government happen here on a local basis. And I found that fascinating. I brought an energy to that that people appreciated, including the president of KCPT, who heard those reports and then asked me, would I come on to KCPT as a guest to talk about things in an animated way about life in the Kansas State House in Topeka.
I was going to say, how did the lawmakers in Topeka back in those days, Nick, how did they come to regard a reporter with a British accent? Were you seen as something of an oddity or not really?
Well, I think some people were totally charmed and disarmed by it.
And some?
Others are, you know, more standoffish. But I think what differentiated the coverage that I had, and this is from an outsider perspective, most people who cover state houses, by and large, talk about things like, House Bill 394, you know, Senate resolution, the minutiae of government that is like you roll your eyes and it's tiresome. Mine was far more trend-based on why on earth should I care? The very things we try to do on Week in Review today, I was doing with state politics back in the early 90s as to why you should care about any of these things. And it was that type of energy and fresh look at those things that I think caught people's eye.
What did you think of Governor Finney? Because she was something, Nick.
Governor Finney, it was really interesting because when she was governor, and I was covering the legislature
Speaking
for the first time.
Of a fish out of water.
Absolutely. Yeah. She, there seemed to be no need to ever go and talk to her because everybody ignored her, including, she was
true.
A Democrat, the Democratic, you know, the lawmakers themselves. They didn't care about her. And her daughter, if you remember, was her chief of staff.
Mm-hmm.
And
Mary
so
Halliday.
Absolutely. And so she would be a gatekeeper. But we befriended each other. But it was only when Bill Graves became governor in 1994, did I finally understand, that's what a governor does. It was really, because I was new to it.
It became clearer then, right?
Yeah, that's what they do. And so, yes, it was very different. But she was somebody who really cared about things like giving citizen initiative referendum, that the citizens should have a chance to put votes on the ballot. You know, that didn't work anywhere because she never had any authority, it seemed, to do anything. But she had some powerful pioneering ideas that never took off, but she was ahead of her time in some regards.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Nick and his work at KCPT, how he got there, and the early competition he had to endure to get the job as host of Week in Review. Nick Kanes is here. He's the highly regarded host of Kansas City Week in Review. He's also the executive producer of the program, and he leads KCPT's News and Public Affairs Television Division. Nick, we were talking about your career and your arrival in Kansas City before our last break there. You know, I was really struck, and I remember this pretty well. Early on, there was this competition between you and another veteran broadcaster in town over the host chair on Week in Review. And there was a competition as to see who was going to come out in the end and become the permanent host. That's some serious pressure, isn't it?
Oh, yes. That was Noel Heckerson. At KMBC.
Yeah.
And in fact, what happened was when I became the news director of the public radio station in Lawrence and I wasn't covering the State House anymore, I didn't feel comfortable coming on as a guest, being the expert when I wasn't at the State House every day. And they said, hey, would you come in and host the program? And I started and they liked it. And what they ended up doing is I would host one week and he would host the other.
Yeah.
Ultimately, what happened then when a position came available at KCPT, they asked me to take it and then they wanted me to take on the whole position. And that it got a little ugly because I was put in the position, a very awkward position, of having to tell Noel Hegarson that they wanted me to do the whole thing.
Oh,
and
kidding.
I think, yes, it was very awkward, and it did just spoil the relationship. It was, I think, the world of Noel Hegarson. But it was the position I was put in by KCPT at that time.
Why did you want to do that show?
Well, I actually never thought of myself as the panel person in that sense. I had been doing a lot of reports. I liked the idea of looking at very big topics and connecting the dots on them.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things for public broadcasting is that, you know, money is always tight. Doing panel programs is a less expensive option. In terms of every time you go out in the field with a camera, now it's costing you a lot of money. Now
right.
You've got to edit. So doing programs like that are a much more cheaper proposition than going out in the field and doing long-form documentaries. So I ended up being the sort of king of the panels. In fact, somebody said, the king of the round table, somebody said to me recently. Well, but because that is a less expensive way of doing it. One of the things about it is a political program that we try to look at other issues, but I have lots of passions, and we try to do that with specials. So mental health is a very big passion area for me. And so we will do specials, including one coming up on October 1st at 7 o'clock, where we're looking at kids and why it is that we're seeing suicide and mental health and behavioral health being such a big issue, yet we never seem to solve it. We're going to be doing that as a town hall on October 1st. Those are issues we try to do in addition to those types of panels, so I can show my passion in other areas.
You know, it seems as though the show has really evolved over the years. I can remember coming on early on, and there'd be a single topic oftentimes for 27 minutes. And now we run through 6, 7, 8 topics. Why have things changed like that?
Well, I think, first of all, audiences have changed, and our expectation of the audience has changed. The second thing is
attention spans are shorter.
Absolutely. I try to present the show that when I was a guest on the program that I would have liked.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, I was the State House Bureau Chief, and they would talk about, say, Emmanuel Cleaver in Kansas City. And, well, what am I going to say about that? If I knew, though, that we could make a connection between things that were happening with Kansas City and what was happening in Kansas, and I knew in advance the areas they were interested in, I could make those connections. So I try to set people up so we can connect the dots from one place to the other. Most of the issues we deal with have a connection on both sides of the state line. If you only only topics on the Missouri side, I have a viewer actually in Kansas who will say, this week, Nick, you only spent 8 minutes and 9 seconds looking at Kansas topics, and you spent 21 minutes. Honestly, I get that.
Yes.
So you really have to blend those things. The other thing is, not everybody's interested in politics. It's important that we provide the meat and potatoes of everything from Mike Parson to Laura Kelly to what happens in Kansas City. But we want to have a broader range of topics too that some people may call water cooler, but it's also important if you're going to call a program Kansas City Week in Review.
Hey, how do you decide on the topics that you pick each week?
I feel it's a huge responsibility because it's not the Nick Haines show, though I host it, though I am the person. I pick the topics, I pick the script, I do the video, I get the graphics, I greet the guests,
wow.
I pick, you know, I'm doing it all. So I like to listen to people. Mondays and Tuesdays, I go out in the community. I host a lot of events. I'm listening to people all of the time. I'm trying to blend topics based on Kansas and Missouri to make sure that happens, that it's not just the serious topics. There are some water cooler things in there. There's an opportunity for some levity.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, and I think that what is appreciated there is that people, you know, we have reporters on there with Channel 41 and Channel 9 and places like that who say, wow, we get more feedback from people saying they see themselves on KCPT than they do on their own channels.
Yeah.
But they see them in a much more human way. And you think about reporters are only seen in a very narrow way.
Yes.
But these are actually people who are intelligent, they're human, they're authentic individuals, and they get to show that on that program.
How do you decide who gets to come on the show? Because it seems to me it's seen as a real sign that you've arrived on the Kansas City journalism scene if you're invited onto Week in Review. Do some reporters lobby behind the scenes to get some FaceTime?
Not only to some reporters lobby behind the scenes. We've had parents of reporters call this. I'm not kidding you. Call me and say, why isn't their son
My mom or dad
daughter
has never done
not,
that, just for
absolutely,
the record.
That is very true.
Yeah.
Why aren't they on the program? That happens. And then others will give me the cold shoulder and say, oh, I haven't been on for a while. What's going? Have I done something wrong? But there are two other areas. There are some very distinguished journalists who are amazing in this community who don't feel qualified to be on the program. That's interesting, too, that they don't feel they could do well in that format. You know, not everybody thrives in that environment. And the other one, which is interesting, interesting is that a lot of women I asked to be on the program, great, great reporters, will often demur and say, oh, why would you want me? Why aren't you asking James or John or Phil?
That's interesting.
Women are more likely to demur. And I try to set people up for success by trying to nurture them and trying to encourage them to do that. And we've had great success in doing that in the last year.
Okay. After a short break, when we come back, we'll talk to Nick about the toughest part of putting that show on each week. And we'll ask a series of lightning round questions of him, like tea or coffee and soccer or cricket. And we're back. I'm Steve Kraske, and we're back with Nick Haynes, executive producer and host of Kansas City Week in Review. Nick leads KCPT's News and Public Affairs Television Division. You know, what's the toughest part of putting on Week in Review each week, Nick? What do you find the hardest thing?
The hardest part is the talent gap, and that is we're not Washington, we're not New York, we're not Los Angeles. I have a lot of things I would love to do.
Right.
But there are very few, there are much fewer journalists today rolling up their sleeves tackling issues. So it's booking guests and having the right people in the room. There are few people who cover the news than there ever has been in this community. And who are those people? And by and large, the people on the types of issues that I deal with, public policy beats, are white males. Mm-hmm. So I have to really reach deep, talk to lots of people to make sure we're being representative of the community we serve, which means, and some people may be surprised at this, but to get four people around the table, sometimes to get there, I might go through 30 asks to get to the four that I need to make that sing. Make that work.
Right. You know, one thing I've always admired about you is the energy you bring to the set. I mean, you basically pop out of the TV set when you're on the screen. And I can tell you try to make it anything but another news show. How do you muster up that energy every week?
What's extraordinary about you saying that, and I'm so gratified you say that, I am interested. If I can't be passionate and enthusiastic about it,
then how do you expect your audience to
be? Exactly right. Yeah, you know, so there has to be that. But I have suffered, though I've gone out of this phase, but I used to suffer from migraine headaches so badly that I'd be throwing up two or three times a week. Mm. If that hit on a Friday morning, I might have a trash can on the set of Week in Review. That's how bad it was.
Right.
And then people would say, wow, I can't believe how much passion and energy you have. And it was so gratifying because it's like they had no idea what I was dealing with at that time. And so, but it's really about, you know, I think news has become too much like entertainment in the United States. However, these are shows, and there has to be some packaging and entertainment value to them. And I think providing energy, particularly around important topics, things don't have to be dull and dire just because you're talking about tax incentives or the state of mental health in this community. You don't have to take yourself too seriously all the time.
Well, we should switch jobs sometimes. You're just doing one show a week. I'm sitting here doing five. And
which is why I admire you.
You ought to come over here and really see what real news is like.
No, I do admire you. I would never do that. One of the things, I am doing this on my own terms. I'm setting the agenda. You are doing everything in 1 week from women's health to jazz to food. And I think, would I have that passion for all of those topics all in the same week? I admire you.
Well, you should come see my home office sometime. I have books coming out my ears from hosting a show for 18 years on topics ranging from women's issues to jazz to everything else. I mean, I'm interested in everything, and I gather maybe you are too in some ways.
Well, my big passion is really connecting the dots on complicated things. What I really thrive is not politics. Actually, it's not the thing I'm most passionate about. In fact, that's not you don't go to my house and see all these political books. I get a passion and a kick out of looking at things that people don't care about. Or say, why should I not care? You know, why should I care about it? And helping people understand it better and giving aha moments as to why that's relevant to their lives.
What about a memorable guest or two? What stands out?
Well, let me just tell you this. Some of the amazing things people may be surprised at. There have been two people who've got married as a result of being on Week in Review.
Really?
One of our specials, actually. They're actually the head of communications at the Shawnee Mission School District, who used to be the communications person in the Kansas City, Missouri School District.
David Smith.
Met his wife on the show.
Great guy.
How many people tell me how I've transformed their lives? Nick, because I appeared on your show, I lost 60 pounds. One person said they lost 80 pounds. I said, you're kidding me. I said, yes. I said, what did I say? And they said, no, I saw myself on television. And I lost all that weight. So I've actually put more marriages together and transformed more lives than Dr. Phil. A lot of people don't realize this, Steve.
You're making a very serious contribution.
Absolutely.
What about memorable guests? You know, like
memorable guests.
Gloria Squatiro, the mayor's from her mayor's
like
wife
that.
Who's been here.
We actually had Gloria Squatiro and Mark Funkhauser at the same time.
Yeah.
This is the first time around. And she says, during it. She didn't think it was being taped. She says, "Hey, Mark, isn't this the most hideous set you've ever seen?"
Oh, my God.
And she does say that, and it's on tape. And he says, "Well, what do you expect, baby? This is public television." You know. And I just thought it was interesting. So when she came on recently, I asked her this. I said, "We have you on tape saying this was the most ugliest set." I said, "We have a brand new one." "So I've always thought your set was wonderful," she tells me. Okay, that's fine. One other guest we had, I don't know if you remember Reverend Jerry Johnston over at First Family Church in Overland Park. We used to do religious roundtables looking at these very issues through the lens of religious leaders all across the spectrum. And he was in, I called him one time to be on the show. He said, "I'm on vacation in Colorado with my family, but I'm going to fly in to do your show and go back to Colorado to be back with my family." Yeah. And that set the bar for all of the guests that are on the show. That's the expectation I have. I don't care if you're going to Hawaii, you're going to the beach in Florida. This is your first priority. You cancel that trip to be on that show on Friday morning.
Okay, it's a lightning round now with Nick Keynes here from KCPT. Tea or coffee, Nick?
Tea.
Soccer or cricket?
Oh, soccer.
Chiefs or Royals?
Oh, Sporting Kansas City wasn't part of it. Oh, ouch. All right.
A downtown professional baseball, yes or no?
No.
Books or podcasts?
Audiobooks.
Brexit, yes or no?
If I was in the UK at the time, I would have probably said yes. Go ahead and get out of Europe.
I know one of your sons was a big professional wrestling fan. Who was your favorite wrestling star?
It was William Regal, who was British, and I went to Kemper Arena when we saw him first, and when they said, "Ladies and gentlemen, from London, England, William Regal," and everybody booed. And it was the first time, wow, and they said, "USA, USA." I was like, wow, I felt like a minority in this group.
Did you cheer?
I certainly cheered him, but I was the only one.
Favorite pastime away from the office?
I go to the gym 5 days a week, and I've done religiously, and that's what got rid of my migraine headaches.
No kidding.
And that's become a big pastime for me. I love the Overland Park Arboretum, and I love that place.
Nick, always a pleasure to have you here. Folks got to know you a little bit better. Thanks for taking time during our Fun Drive week here. I sure appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, and I so appreciate you, Steve, and everybody at KCUR.
That's Nick Keynes from KCPT, and as he can attest, it takes a lot of work to produce the programs that bring you the news every day and every week here.